Now we continue. The international travel has few of the components, and this has to be borne in mind, referred as A's. Now A here stands for, the first is accessibility. International travel will not happen if you are not having good accessibility. To go down from point A to point B, if you have to transit and stay somewhere for 24 hours to 36 hours, then that destination may not be a very popular destination in another country. Yeah? Because for accessibility, you need to have transportation to the destination to be regular, comfortable, economical, and safe. So if you are transiting somewhere for 24 hours, then you have to pay for hotel. And the airline is maybe one or two airlines. So you have to pay more money. You understand? This was the case something like 20, 30 years back. Everywhere there were no direct accessibility. You had to go different places and stop. Even going down to London, there were two stops in between. There were no direct flights in the 60s, as I mentioned, because of the fuel refueling. So accessibility plays a role. Accommodation, you need to have a good supply of accommodation, meeting all budgets. Anything from 0-star, no star, lodging, boarding, to 5-star and high-end properties where tourists would love to stay. They are quite choosy about the type of accommodation, food, and hence, hotels from 3-star to 7-star grade are available at many tourist destinations. So if someone would like to pay for the luxury, he or she will not mind to pay that because he or she can afford to pay that price. Attractions, no destination. This is the third A that I'm quoting. He saw the accessibility, he saw accommodation. Now we are talking about the attraction. There should be something happening available for tourists to go there. You cannot take someone and say, hey, there's nothing to do. Just come at the airport, just walk around, and there's nothing. Yeah? So tourists flock to place that kindle an interest in their minds. Yeah, I'm going to Dubai. I will take a cruise, a Dhow cruise. I would go for a desert safari. I would go down to Universal Studios. I will buy and go to Gold Souk for shopping, attractions. You understand? People coming to India. Oh, I will go down to Taj Mahal. I'll go down to the temple in the south. Or I would go down to Kashmir to have a look at the snow. Yes, for many countries in Asia, they don't have snow, which India can provide them in Kashmir. So yes, attractions plays an important role, domestic and international both. Then we pick up the direct parameters of international transportation. We spoke about the transportation, anything, connectivity, two flights, one flight a day would be also okay. But if there are more than two flights, like from Mumbai to Dubai, you have choice of hotels, choice of flights from Air India to Air India Express, to SpiceJet, to IndiGo, to Vistara, Air Arabia, name it. We have a number of airlines going. So transportation, activities and attraction, then comes marketing. You may have a wonderful product, but if you are weak on your marketing, making people aware of it is also important. You may have a wonderful product, but you don't market them. Now, marketing could be anything. On social media, digital platform, traditional platform, print media, name it. You need to be marketing your product. You market, some countries mark for food and beverage. Yes. People go down to France for sampling wonderful cuisine and wine. Yes. So you need to market that. You need to bring in, it is a direct parameter to get tourists. Shopping. Number of tourists who go down to Thailand or United Arab Emirates, always keep a day, two, even on a short trip of 4 to 5 days, half day, one day, purely for shopping. It's part of us. We love to shop. and shopping should be part of an Indian when he or she travels. Even if you go domestically, we will buy something. So shopping is important. Then many countries insist you that if you want to apply for a visa, you should have an insurance available. And it says advisable to have an insurance. So what happens is, if anything, mishap happens, flight cancellation, curtailment, baggage loss, or delay in flight, whatever, you have an insurance to support for it. Loss of baggage, not to forget. Foreign transaction happen for payment, a tourist publication and information. These are the direct publications. I mentioned about media, print, electronic, blind media, digital media, everywhere there is a tourist publications available. Even some of the old school still believe in hard copy of a brochure, a map. Despite Google Map being available, they still believe in a hard copy of a city map because that belongs to them. Not everywhere you have internet availability. So these are all direct parameters. If you address all of them, you are doing international tourism promotion successfully. Then indirect parameters are, this may not be necessarily for tourists, maybe for the local who live around. And that is infrastructure needs. You need to improve your infrastructure in form of hotel, in form of road, in form of facilities, in form of any support that is needed as an infrastructure development. Arrival halls of the airport are also a form of an infrastructure. Providing a good, satisfied services at the airport is part of infrastructure that I feel. Because that's the first impression a tourist gets. Upon arrival at an immigration, if the tourist spends 2.5 hours just to get a stamp of arrival or to clear or get his baggage on the platform where he picks up his bag and it takes total sum 2.5 hours, it's not a good experience. So there also the infrastructure is needed to improve onto that. And then of course, international tourism overview once again. International tourists are higher socioeconomic class and spending more, of course. Quite a few of us, in fact, good number of us, have never traveled internationally. Many of us even don't have passport. It's a fact. Out of 1.4 billion population that we have, I don't think we have many people who have traveled. Yes? So it's considered as a higher socioeconomic class. Those who are middle class or upper middle class are taken into people who has higher spending capacity. They stay at longer destinations, stay at long, 2 nights, 3 nights. It's quite a fast trip. We do 3 to 4 nights in one particular country and we take up a Far East tour of 10 to 12 days going down to Indonesia, Thailand and Malaysia and cover the Far East in 11 nights itinerary. So quite a longer stay there. Using costly transport and expensive accommodation depend on your spending capacity and what you want. So this is responsible for bringing in the foreign exchange currency which contributes to a destination country's GDP. We have spoken on to that. So once again, global industry, international tourism easily measurable, and as such, visitors tend to be more recognizable as tourist as destination. You can identify someone as a tourist, even if you take up a domestic travel. You are clearly identified in the other domestic destination as a tourist. Some of the tourists complain that tourists are overcharged. Yes, it is a practice all around the world that takes some more money from tourists. Because they can afford to pay, they have higher spending capacity. In the global industry as well as domestic, you pay more. This is what the cry of the resident in many countries is, the tourists have brought in more money. As a result, the real estate prices have shot up. It's a common cry coming in from Goa. The real estate has shot up because new properties have emerged in last number of years. And there are people who are buying properties and everywhere in the world. So yes, worldwide growth in arrivals has been happening except for the 3 years of COVID starting from 2022 to 2023. All these 3 years are to be taken as a nightmare, of course. But statistically, we need to understand that. We will be seeing this and discussing in the following chapters. So, global industry, some of the statistics of 2023 from UN Tourism, it was seen as challenging year, 2021, and that was the year immediately after that COVID era. We still had many restrictions related to COVID still ongoing. International borders weren't open. International tourist arrival increased by 49 million. Now, when we talk of this statistic, we are taking 2020 as the base, and then it increased 49 million to reach 456 million. That was still 69% less than the base of the 2019, that is still considered as the highest international arrival that was noticed. So the year 2022 is characterized as rebound back by ease of restriction. A lot of restriction started going out from various countries. Many countries removed restriction. International borders opened up. Visa facilities were eased out. And slowly we saw growth coming in. As we saw 2021 figure that it registered 49 million growth, but was still short of 69, which is quite a big sum, huh? We are talking about 2022. So coming back again, statistic, international tourism highlight of UNWTO in 2022. Why not to count this also? Europe, nearly 60% of the world international tourist arrival, followed by America. So Europe bounced back very fast. Why? Because European borders opened up practically everywhere in 2022. America started getting. Minded international travel in Europe happened by road a lot, because many countries in Europe are linked to one another. Sometimes you cross from one country to another country in a span of 7 to 8 hours. You are into another country. Yeah. So Europe came back faster. Europe represents almost half of the international tourist receipt, followed by the Americas with almost one-fourth. Now, spending capacity of international tourists in America is always higher. And it ranks also quite high in international tourist arrivals. Yeah. So Europe and America registered an ongoing growth post-COVID. Europe accounts for 3 in 5 trips in the world. So you can see what is the contribution of Europe. 3 in 5 trips are from Europe. The, in terms of spending on travel tourism, China, United States, Germany remain the world's top source market during the pandemic, accounting for 1/3 of the spending on the international travel. And these spenders are quite high. The Chinese, they spend. Americans, US citizens, they spend quite high as compared to what we, if you compare with the third world countries or the developing countries, our spending capacity is much lower than these three countries that we are talking, China, Germany, and US. And then, according to, once again, 2020, we are talking tourism consisting of both inbound and outbound domestic tourism. In both inbound and domestic tourism represent a major part of the GDP for many economies around the world. In developing countries, typically it continues. It contributes about 5% to 12% of the GDP. Now, we are taking statistics from 2020. Mind it, 2020 was the year where many countries were having restrictions. So France, the world's top tourism destination, tourism represents 7% of the GDP. And then some more statistic here. It can help to generate balance of payment as the export revenue for tourism can reduce stress deficit. What do we need foreign exchange? Because we do import a lot of things, many countries of the world, in form of rice, in form of technology, in form of food, in form of medicine, in form of heavy electricals and big projects. We import a lot of such things. We pay in foreign exchange to different countries of the world. And to offset that or to reduce that, we need revenue coming into our country in form of foreign exchange. And this is what tourism helps. And this is what has been identified by many countries. So as such, international tourism can generate a tourism trade surplus when receipt exceed expenditure or a deficit or vice versa in the level of balance of countries. So quite a few economic elements I have picked up here to explain to you that we do import a lot of things for our growth, for which we are falling short in technology, know-how, or even in case of where we don't have supply available in our own country. Yeah. So for that, we need to import them. And when we import, we pay in a foreign exchange to balance that or to take that out and keep our trade earnings in form of GDP, we need foreign exchange. Now, my dear student, I need to highlight here that our foreign exchange earning also comes in from the international remittances that Indians working abroad send to our country for their family to spend money. Or they bring that money when they come on a holiday or when they buy property or when they spend in projects in India, they send those money. So we earn foreign exchange from travelers, from the export that we do, and the remittances that come into India by the Indian resident staying around the world and sending money to India for their family's expenses, for buying property, or just keeping deposit in our own country. We continue learning tourism in India. Now we pick up something from tourism in India. Foreign tourist arrival FTAs in India were just 1.52 million. It was a decline of 44.5%. And mind it, we are talking 2021. We are not comparing with 2019. Again, in 2021, the international departure abroad was 8.55 million, which was 17.23 on 2020. So a lot of international travel started happening in 2021 because many restrictions started eased out. So that started foreign exchange earning. The country has seen a jump from 6.9 billion in 2020 to $8.8 billion in 2021. Now, foreign exchange earning, we should always bear in mind, foreign exchange earning doesn't only come from tourists. Foreign exchange earning, I have highlighted, it also comes in from the remittances that come in from the Indians residing in Gulf, Singapore, US, Canada, who are working there and send money back home. That also brings in foreign exchange. And now we take domestic industry. Growth in number of domestic tourist arrival in states and union territories. We have got 29 states and 6 to 8 union territories. 2021, 610 million. 2021, 677.63 million. That's a rise of 11%. Why this happened? Many restrictions. Intrastate were also existing in 2020. West Bengal were not allowing tourists to come in. Kerala was putting up a lot of restrictions for domestic tourists, I'm talking of, to come to their site. So as a result, the improvement happened over 2020. Mind it, this number, 610 million, is a great figure to support our tourism industry to at least survive. Otherwise, India as a big tourism industry, the lot of support that comes in from domestic tourists. And we continue, the top five states who get highest number of tourists, not to forget Tamil Nadu standing on number one position. Why Tamil Nadu? Tamil Nadu because of a lot of temples around there, a lot of international and domestic tourism go down to Tamil Nadu to visit the different temples. International tourists from Singapore, Malaysia, and everywhere in the world go down to those temples. They come to Tamil Nadu. Then we have got to Uttar Pradesh, again a destination with a lot of Hindu pilgrimage destination like Varanasi, like Prayagraj. And of course, I can't count on Ayodhya because that time it wasn't open in 2021. It's only in 2024. Then we have Karnataka, we have Maharashtra. Yeah, Karnataka also has quite a few of religious sites that they have. And Maharashtra, not to forget, Maharashtra like Shirdi, like we have got the Pandharpur, like we have got various in Western Maharashtra where lot of domestic tourists go as one of those Char Dham or Ashdham Yatra. We continue domestic industry. The five states which we just now saw from Tamil Nadu, UP, Maharashtra, Karnataka, the contribution of these five states is 65% of the total number of domestic tourists. And now we go to the international travel understanding of travel management. International travel is not restricted to any particular or social class. We observe that with the help of systematic planning, everyone can travel either domestically or internationally. Yes? Yes, it's simple to travel. You don't need to be a rocket scientist to plan your itinerary. Very simple. If you're aware, you can go online, you can book, you pay online, you book your online. All reservation comes to you digitally. You don't have to practically have any document that you need to carry, which was not the case 10 to 15 years back. You need to have old travel voucher, travel agency voucher, hard copies in hand to show it to someone. So if the financial calculations are done properly while planning foreign tourism, the travel becomes very pleasant. So if you do a lot of research, if you explore, if you look into the services available with the different supply chain in form of hotel, airlines, city tours, etc., you can save good money and spend that money saved for other activities that include shopping or other areas. So, what are the meaning of international travel management? All this which we have been talking has to be borne in mind in our international tourism management. So, flights, visa, accommodation, travel, food, foreign exchange, and shopping are important components of travel expenses. So anyone who travels need to have budget for all this and calculate according to his or her capacity. So if you have a budget traveler, you will not be looking at a five-star hotel. Possibly you would look at two-star or three-star hotel. Likewise, if you are a budget traveler, you will pick up a low-cost carrier. If you are traveling abroad for the first time while choosing the country, you should choose visa-free. Yeah? For example, 50 or 48 countries, approximately, plus or minus, are offering Indian visa on arrival or electronic visa. Avail this. Instead of getting your visa rejected at certain countries, it's better to travel the countries who offer Indians visa on arrival or electronic visa without asking much of a documentation. Yeah, simply a copy of your passport, a copy of your hotel reservation, your flight itinerary, and possibly a yellow fever vaccination, and that's it. They don't ask you to provide bank statement. There are a good number of countries who are giving you all this. Avail this and travel and start getting international travel experience. This is what we can recommend. So that instead of getting visa rejected three times, you spend just every time some counseling money, anything from 3,000 to 5,000 to 6,000. You spend maybe more than 15,000 rupees just to get counseled by someone who has been continuously rejecting your visa. Instead, you go and apply for a visa to a country that gives you visa very easily and go down there. Yeah. So that is, again, a financial arrangement or management that one has to bear in mind before you get into all this. So, for example, now here's some example which I've already explained to you in detail. Bhutan, Nepal, Maldives, Mauritius, Kazakhstan are visa-free for Indian. In this context, if you visit these countries, there is no cost for the visa, just for free. Stamp. There are many more I would be putting here. There are many more. This is not a perfect statement. There are many more. Visa on arrival are available at low cost at important airports and entry point. That is Thailand, Indonesia, Sri Lanka, UAE, Malaysia. These are all countries that give you very simply visa on arrival, electronic visa. That also includes Cambodia, Vietnam. Yeah, there are quite a few in this. A long list, which the time will not be there to talk on to detail one. All this, we continue. A trip to country on your wish list requires months of preparation. I highlighted, you need to plan systematically. Proper planning can save anywhere from 20% to as much as double the cost. Don't jump. Look, explore, find out how you can live and spend economically with a budget set into your mind. Okay? The money saved is used for the next trip. Of a shopping, I highlighted that. So when we were talking about the international travel management, let's conclude, let's understand that this is for everyone to notice, it's for us to understand that you need to be slightly rich, which means you should have better earning and good saving to travel to other countries, especially foreign countries, because of the rising inflation. We all know inflation has risen drastically. The value for Indian rupee against dollar is shooting up from something like 65 years back to now almost 83, 84 rupees for a dollar. So that's an inflation. Travel costs have shot up from 5,000 to 8,000 rupees for a journey to Far East. Those were at 35,000, 37,000 are now in the range of 45,000 and 48,000. So quite a big inflation has been happening. You need to have extra money to travel internationally. So if you have done good financial planning, now we are talking about your planning here for your trip, which means international traveler, this wandering becomes a bit easier and a possible task. So it's not difficult for someone who has explored, well-researched, you can save costs into that. So here I come with the conclusion, and I'm Professor Sheikh Rahmatullah. I'm thanking you for listening to me. You have a good time ahead. Thank you.